Welcome to Victory Church's online podcast library. We hope you enjoy this message today.
I'm going to read a couple scriptures out of John. And when Jesus first really taught the disciples, you know, you can go through the whole ministry of Jesus, and he didn't really teach about the Holy Spirit. He displayed the anointing that was on his life, operated in the Holy Spirit, moved in the power of God, but he, you know, the disciples were still, they were kind of on the sidelines, they were spectators. The beauty of Pentecost is it brings us all into the fight, into the game. We're no longer all sitting on the bench. You know, I saw some TV commercial today about making benches of all things. And it was Shaquille O'Neal. Everyone knows who Shaquille O'Neal is? Shaq, he says, I make benches, I don't sit on the bench, he said. I thought that was pretty cool. You don't have to sit on the bench anymore. The Holy Spirit brings you out into the game where you're a participant. You're not just an observer coming to learn. But you come in here and you soak and you drink, you get around the body of Christ, and you're out there all week long. You're out there in the game. And that's what it is. So anyway, Jesus was teaching about the Holy Spirit that night. I'll just read a few highlights, things that he said to them in John 14. You should go and just read John 14, 15, and 16. Read them over and over again until they become part of you. John 14, 16, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he might be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm coming to you. You know, I was heard a statement that this guy, one of the guys that the Lord really used, strange guy that was used in the Jesus movement, his name was Frisbee. What was his first name? Lonnie Frisbee. And he didn't have a family. He was a homeless hippie in San Francisco that got touched by God powerfully, and the Lord used him shockingly. And he talked about this Jesus movement being a movement in a fatherless generation. And people that had lost their fathers that were finding this heavenly Father that loved them. And, you know, we live in a world that's broken right now. So many broken families, people raised without dads, people without a father. Even the father's there, he might be an alcoholic or he might be just totally out to lunch or something, you know. But that's what happens. We live in a fallen world, and the Lord comes to us, and he becomes your Father, the Holy Spirit. You know, when the revival touched back in January of 1994, the Holy Spirit fell in Toronto, at a church in Toronto, and the Holy Spirit fell there and was for many, many years. People were coming from all over the world to that place, and they called it the Father's blessing. That's what they called it. The Father's blessing. I love the sound of that. Just say that with me. The Father's blessing. Jesus actually called it the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, John the Baptist called it the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus called it the promise of the Father. That's what Jesus called it. The Father's promise. The promised one, the Holy Spirit. Just lift your hands for a moment. Thank you, Father. Just begin to say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your precious promise. Thank you, Lord. You're not leaving me as an orphan, Lord. I might have come from a messed up background. My dad might have been whacked or not there, but you're my Father. You're my Father. Just lift your hands and say, you're my Father. Thank you, Father. Father God. Father God. If you have a wholesome dad, that's even better. Good for you. But the Father can be your Father. So he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. They were afraid, you know. Jesus had really, those 3 years, these 12 guys had been with him day and night. And he provided for them. He led them. He prayed for them. He ministered to them. And now he's going to be gone. And they thought, man, we're going to be left alone. We're going to be orphans. And he said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to come to you. So that tonight, just some, for some people tonight, as you receive prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you, you know, just let him be your father. Let him love you. Somebody say amen. Amen. So also in this passage, I love this. This is what I named the first book that I ever wrote. It was called Another Helper. Jesus used that phrase in John 14:16. He said, I'll ask the Father. Wow, that's amazing. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Everyone say another helper. Well, interesting. In the New Testament, things are very specific and very literal. And the phrase that Jesus actually used was a beautiful phrase called allos parakletos. Everyone say it, allos parakletos, another helper. Helper, the word parakletos means one called alongside to help. You could even be used, they use that in the Greek language for lawyers, someone to come stand with you in court, to be your helper, your advocate. So he's your helper. But this word allos is a very beautiful and powerful word. It really gives us a glimpse of the Holy Spirit. The word allos means another, but it's very specific. You know, Jesus could have said heteros parakletos. Heteros means another but different. The word allos means another but exactly the same, like a carbon copy. And he says, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to send you another helper. He's going to be just like me. He's going to come and be with you. The things that you've seen me do in these last few years, that's what he's going to do. Now, you know what that told them? They had been eyewitnesses to thousands of miracles in 3 years. They had seen things that had never happened before. They had seen so many blind people that could see and paralyzed people that could walk and people that were covered with leprosy that had been healed. They had seen people that were bound by demons. They were suicidal and homicidal that were chained up. They'd seen them liberated by the power of his word in a moment of time. They had seen people raised from the dead. They had seen all kinds of things. And they immediately knew what Jesus was talking about. He's going to come and he's just like me. The things that I've done, he's going to do as well. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. If you go down a couple of verses, yeah, John 14:12, he said, the things that you do, shall I do. The things that I've done, you shall do also. And even greater things than these shall you do. So yeah, you think about the ministry of Jesus. He forgave and encouraged the least of these, the worst of sinners. He'd forgive a prostitute. He cleansed them. Tax collectors, thieves, and murderers. Forgive them and say, go and sin no more. He'd break the chains of demonic bondage. He healed every kind of sickness, and he healed broken hearts. So tonight, if you have a broken heart, you know what? He can come and heal that. I don't care what you've gone through. You might have been rejected. You might consider yourself a throwaway. You know, maybe you've been rejected by your parents, rejected at every job. You've failed at everything you've tried to do. You've got a big old L loser on your forehead. You can't win for losing. That's just your story. Well, you know what? He's going to come and put his hands around you. He's going to love you. He's going to love you anyway. He's going to wash away the pain of rejection. He's going to wash away your past. And he's going to give you a clear picture of who you are and why you are. And that he has a beautiful plan for your life. And the loser thing is going to be gone. You're no longer. He's going to put a mark on your forehead that says, instead of loser, it's going to say, Jesus freak, right across your forehead. Oh, I love this. Just a few things that he said are so powerful. Verse 16 and 17, he says, Truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his... I'm sorry, wrong chapter. That won't work. Okay. I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper so that he might be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. The world can't get it because they can't see it with their eyes, because their other eyes are closed. They can't hear it with their ears because their other ears are closed. They can't feel it with their touch because their spiritual touch is not operating. Their five senses, our five natural senses are given to us by God, but they portray or they shadow the other senses that are awakened in us when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Your spiritual senses begin to come alive and begin to operate and become real to you. And this truth, he's the Spirit of truth. A better way to say that would be the Spirit of reality. He's not just the Spirit of information. He's not just the answer guy with facts. But he gives us the very essence, the very substance. He gives the, when the Holy Spirit comes in, he gives the substance of what Jesus is. He gives the substance of what the Word of God is. He gives us the substance of redemption. It becomes real to us. He leads us into all truth. He's awesome. Hallelujah. Let me give you just a couple more scriptures. He says, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also. And greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. You know what he likes to do? He likes to take the least likely and do amazing things. If you are not, you know, maybe you're not, if we were to line 10 people up against the wall, maybe you wouldn't be picked to be the most successful of the lot. Maybe you wouldn't be picked out as that. Yet he'll look down the 10 on the thing. You know, Saul was picked because of his height and because of his, he was handsome. But that's not the way it is with the Lord. He's going to pick some goofy looking guy with weird looking ears and maybe a speech impediment, like Moses. Did you know Moses had a speech impediment? He couldn't even talk. He had to get his brother Aaron to go with him so he could talk for him. Oral Roberts, he was a stutterer until the Holy Ghost came on him. Became one of the greatest preachers of his generation. You know, just because you've got a something wrong about you doesn't... He wants to take you and your weaknesses. He wants to take you and your inconsistencies, and he wants to anoint you and reach your world. He's placed you in your world to be a sign and a wonder. He wants to awaken. Yeah, we're not waiting for God to blow up the churches. He wants to blow up he wants some grenades to be thrown outside that. He wants to just blow up the whole culture. 1994 was about renewal in the church. This next wave, the Jesus movement, was not about the church. It was about blowing up the culture and ultimately affected the church. Come on. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Let me give you two other scriptures. John 15:26. When the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, namely the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify about me, and you are testifying as well because you've been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit, you know, how do you know? You know, people sometimes get disturbed when you start having unusual manifestations in a church service, you know. You know, people doing unusual things, shaking, you know, stuff, you know, shaking or being stuck to the floor or laughing or you know, crying or whatever, all of those kind of things. Sometimes it makes people nervous. those kinds of things. The problem is, I forgot what I was talking about. That's the problem. But I remembered, though. So how do you know? How do you know? You know, somebody, they start laughing. They start shaking. They start having strange manifestations. How do you know if it's Jesus? Or, you know, people say, you have to be careful. That might be the devil. You know, that's what I was told when I was growing up. I went to an evangelical church. When I was growing up, actually, it was Memorial Baptist is where I attended. And I was warned about Pentecostals. You have to watch it because you never know, that might be the devil when you start doing those things. Well, how do you know? It's easy. It's really easy. If someone is starting to have these unusual manifestations, take a look at their life. Have they stopped walking in sin? Is there repentance? Are they talking about Jesus more than they ever did before? Are they reading their Bible? They're going to church. If whatever it is that's happening in their life is lifting up Jesus, then it must be Jesus. That's how you know. That's how you know. That's how you know. The devil's not going to make you laugh and have you talk about Jesus and the Word of God and the cross and the resurrection and the second coming. That's not what the devil does. So that's how you know. And this last scripture I wanted to share with you. Yeah. This is so simple. Jesus said, He will glorify me. For He will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit comes and He starts to lift Jesus up. Jesus becomes more and more real to you. You know, one of the things, if you go and you start, look what they preached in the book of Acts. One of the things, you know, they always preached that Christ was crucified. After 3 days, He was raised from the dead. And then they always preached He ascended into heaven. And sat down at the right hand of God. They always preached that. They were not just about the cross and the resurrection. They were also about Christ being seated at the right hand of God. As a matter of fact, check this out. In the New Testament, the scripture that's quoted more than any scripture, the Old Testament scripture quoted more than any other scripture by the apostles and by Jesus was Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. It's the number one quoted scripture by the apostles and by Jesus. It's about the heavenly ministry of Jesus. And you get a hold of that. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get filled and filled and filled and filled again. Come on, get on your feet with me.
Visit our website at www.victorychurchnola.com for service times and more information.